What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And today we are talking about anxiety. The devil.
It is truly the devil. Horrible. And I haven't been this excited to dive into a topic in a while, I think, because it's something I've experienced so many times in my adult life, and yet I really don't understand the science behind it, and I would like to.
Yeah.
It also might ruin alcohol for me forever, which I'm also terrified of. I'm like, no, I love it. But like, it's a real thing. I mean, I experience it all the time.
Yes. And I feel like we can even talk about it, like how it felt when we were younger versus now or something. Yeah. It feels like a totally different experience now than when I was.
Yes. You know. And just to, you know, quickly before we get into like plugging tour dates and all that.
Yeah.
Anxiety. We are talking about hangover anxiety.
Yes.
I know. Sometimes you can hear the word anxiety and think, oh, are they going to talk about like social anxiety, like hanging out with people?
Oh my God. How funny.
That too. Absolutely. But in this episode, we are talking about, this is the term apparently that is used for hangover anxiety. So we will in a second. This is coming out on August 6th. No, I'm sorry, August 8th. So my upcoming tour dates, I'm in Houston, August 19th through the 20th, and then hometown of Spokane, August 25th through the 27th, and then Fort Collins and Raleigh in September, Washington, D.C., Grand Rapids in October, and Atlanta and Burbank the rest of the year. So I won't be there for the rest of the year. I'm just saying, like, those are the last two dates. But there might be some more added, but that's kind of it for now. So you can go to kelseycook.com and get tickets if you would like.
Fabulous. You can head over to DelaneyFisher.com for eFishionado, the minimalist business podcast. So if you are an entrepreneur, business owner, you're looking to scale a minimalist business, we'd love to have you. We're about to record an episode all about selling without feeling like a gross loser. So that'll be a fun one. And then we're also covering, and this is all voted on. A lot of these topics are voted on by the community over there. And then we're covering one about just hitting six figures and then scaling beyond six figures without like sacrificing your time, your health, your values, and just managing all the range of emotions that can happen around that, like, quote unquote milestone. So that's what's happening over there. DelaneyFisher.com. It's a free private podcast. You can get it delivered right to your inbox. We'd love to have you.
Hell yeah. Six figures, baby.
Hey, baby.
All right, let's get into the quotable for the episode. So this was submitted by Helpster Amanda, and she submitted the quote through our Patreon, which is patreon.com/selfhelpless. So it's, for a seed to achieve its greatest... Whoa, let me try that again. For a seed to achieve its greatest expression, it must come completely undone. The shell cracks, its insides come out, and everything changes. To someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction.
Oh, God, what a fabulous quote.
Wow, wow, wow. So that is by Cynthia Ocelli.
My God, so good.
Damn.
So good. It reminds me of that quote I love too, with something along the lines of like, when you feel buried, you've just been planted.
Yeah.
Bro, or something. I'm like, girl, that's a delicious one. Yes.
It's really good. Yeah. Thank you so much, Amanda, because
so good.
We do a quotable every week. Some of them resonate more than others. And man, that's one that, I haven't heard a quotable in a little bit where I've been like, oh shit, that really, really does hit you good.
Yeah. Growth is uncomfortable. I think it's like, I feel like I personally, I kind of forget that.
Yes.
And then I hit it again. I'm like, oh yeah, I've been here before. This is uncomfortable and weird and it's okay. But
yes.
there's going to be some good shit on the other side of it. So definitely. Yeah, such a good reminder.
And I just want to give a heads up for this episode. My allergies are so bad today. So I'm going to try to not sniff as much as possible. But if you guys hear it, I'm sorry. I'm sure it's annoying. Just bear with me as much as you can because it is what it is. But yeah, on YouTube, my eyes are all like, they're all small and puffy because I feel like I've just got a sneeze stuck in my nose. I hate that feeling.
It's all good. You'll have that sexy, sultry, what is that? Smelly cat voice from Friends. Phoebe's voice when she gets the cold. And she, do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Sexy, sultry. Amazing. We're here for it.
Basically. So like we mentioned in the intro today, we're talking about hangover-related anxiety or hangxiety, which is having a significant increase in anxiety that you experience the day after heavy drinking. So not everyone experiences this psychological symptom of a hangover, but research suggests that folks with a social phobia or shyness are more likely to experience anxiety.
Oh, there it is. The double anxiety. Hanging out
there
and hangover.
You know what?
Funny. That makes sense.
Funny because then kind of that hangout anxiety is involved.
Right. And you know what's interesting? It's like for me, I feel like I have a certain level of social anxiety, whether I'm drunk or sober.
Same.
But sometimes being drunk or having alcohol in your system because it does slow down certain reactions or like you're missing cues and stuff, you might do something weird because you are buzzed when actually you tried to have a drink to ease the anxiety and awkwardness, but then it created it. You're like, what the fuck am I even supposed to do here? Right? Nothing works.
I know. Yeah. And it's actually a relief to me to hear that you also have social anxiety because I think when people meet you, you're such a fun, like bubbly, outgoing person that I wouldn't ever guess. I think just off the bat that you have social anxiety. But yeah, for me, I don't know how it feels for you when you wake up the next day with a hangover, but the anxiety I have comes largely from thinking back on my social interactions.
Yes.
While I was drunk and like, oh God, did that come off right? Did I say something weird? Did that person take that a weird way? I mean, I basically put every social interaction I had while I was under the influence under a microscope.
Yes. It just skyrockets my rumination. I already have that shit. And then it just it levels that up big time. And exactly what you said, Kels, if I can remember all of my interactions, I go through them like, oh God, was that weird? Do I need to send an apology text? All of that. And, but when I was younger, the like anxiety experience, I would wake up and I would still be like, oh my gosh, I probably said some crazy shit. And then just kind of laugh it off and go about my day. It did not affect me as much as it does now as like an adult woman. Now I'm like, oh my God, that is an uncomfortable thing I probably said, or what if I said this? Where I used to just think it was like funny and whatever, and everybody else thought it was funny. But I just feel like now we're at this age where like, shit isn't always so funny anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's a little higher stakes too, so, I guess, depending on what the situation is. But like, have you, I mean, you and I have not been employed by an employer in a long time, but did you used to have work parties and stuff, like holiday parties where alcohol was involved?
Oh, girl, yeah.
The anxiety after those, I was like, am I going to get fired? Good Lord. I know that everybody was letting loose, but I'm sure a few people weren't as much, and they can remember some of the shit I said. Like,
yes.
I
can I tell yes. you yes, I please do.
Oh, so I used to work as like an admin assistant at a firm in Seattle, and they had a holiday party, and it was my first holiday party with them. And I'd probably been working for them for, I don't know, a handful of months at this point. And it was a really cool office environment. And I got the vibe, like, as soon as I got to the holiday party, like, oh, people are getting shit-faced.
Yes.
Like, HR who? Okay. I mean, it was really people just going for it. And I remember I had this coworker who she's just like very conservative, like religious background. I think was kind of more on the, how do I want to describe this? Like, not very sexually adventurous, just, you know, would take things very slow, was very hesitant to sleep with anybody or get into a relationship, anything like that. And they were serving fried chicken at this holiday party.
Yeah.
And it was like, just like, but gourmet, but, you know, kind of like greasy, barbaric food.
Yeah.
And I was told by a coworker the next day that I apparently was just like tearing into a drumstick in like a mini skirt. I'm in like a little holiday like dress, tearing into a drumstick, looking at her with food in my mouth going, you're just putting the pussy on a pedestal. You're like, it's like you're doing too, like you gotta just get out there. It's, you're making it too big a deal. I was just so slurry and being so aggressive with my sexual advice. Oh my God. I was horrified.
Oh, dude. I mean, yeah. I, as somebody who has slept with and married their employee, I have no idea what you mean by no work boundaries.
Right.
Dude, look, I knew I wasn't a fit for corporate, but my God, every job really just sealed the deal for a lot of reasons. You know, I just like didn't like the way things were run. I didn't understand why things were so inefficient, all that kind of stuff. But the work parties, my God. Okay, so let me tell you, one of my first jobs out of college, very corporate, very stuffy.
Okay.
Went to their holiday party, beautiful holiday party, really very LA type shit.
Yeah.
I got pretty buzzed enough to tell a lot of people that I was going to be quitting in less than 6 months. This wasn't really for me. So that's number one. Be careful how much you drink if you're not happy with the job. Luckily, it was just probably like my coworker type people who kind of felt the same way. I don't think any executives heard, but that's a thing that happened. And then there was another job I had where I had a lot of, oh God, this is so bad. It was a childcare job. Not like, I wasn't like a nanny or anything, but there was a staff of people. And, you know, I had a boyfriend at the time who was another staff member. We'd make out in the freaking closet in between like kids' lunches and shit.
Dude, you and your coworkers getting it in.
And then, I went to a party where, you know, some coworkers were there. Got a little too buzzed at that, said some real ridiculous stuff, and then had to like face everybody on Monday with people like, oh, is this true what you said? I'm like, Jesus. The list truly goes on. You know, at my other job where I met my husband, I had been friendly with some of the other employees as well. So I am not made for a corporate HR environment. I know that about myself because like if I see somebody I'm like, ooh, they're cute, I'd tell them. And I would probably have sexually harassed a majority of, you know, male coworkers. So this is something I know about myself, and I canceled myself, you guys. I removed myself from the corporate environment, you know, and that's, so yes, the work stories of the anxiety are immense.
That's a next level thing. It's the work holiday parties and waking up and being like, do I still have a job?
Yes.
How can I look these people in the eye the next day after what I've said?
Truly. Truly. Yeah. So I feel you deeply.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Do you want to get into why it happens?
Yes. All right. So here is why we all experience anxiety, if you've ever, you know, experienced that before. Number one, dehydration. Drinking tends to make people urinate more than usual, and you probably don't drink as much water as you should when you're drinking. And research from a 2014 trusted source suggests dehydration can contribute to anxiety and other changes in mood. I mean, that makes sense. Folic acid deficiency. Alcohol can also cause your folic acid levels to dip, which could explain why you don't quite feel like yourself the next day. People are also more likely to indulge in foods that might also trigger anxious feelings. Oh yeah. I mean, I inhale so much more food and, you know, food that's not quite as good for me when I am buzzing.
I am going to Google as we're doing this. Folic acid foods, like, because I would like to know then what I should be having,
right,
to bump that back up. So
yeah.
So folic acid is vitamin B9. So maybe we just go get like some B9 supplements.
Oh, is that why everybody would give me some kind of B supplements the next day after drinking?
Yeah. I feel like I always was given B12 by friends. Like, oh, B12 is good, but B9. Okay.
No, we probably fucked it up. Yeah. It's probably B9.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably a different B.
It's saying dark leafy green vegetables, beans, peanuts, sunflower seeds, fresh fruits, fresh juices, whole grains, liver, seafood.
All the things you don't want to eat on a hangover.
Yeah.
That is not my goat. I want a fucking burger, breakfast burrito, pizza. That's what I'm craving the next day. So that's tough, but good mental note that even if you don't want to be eating that stuff because it doesn't sound fun the next day.
Oh, it looks like eggs too. So foods rich in folate. That's another thing that you can look up is avocados, bananas. Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. So like, okay. All right.
You know, get home, eat a banana, take a little B9 supplement. Maybe it helps.
It'd be good. I'll put some avocado on my burger. We can be in good shape.
Yeah.
And then, obviously dehydration, drinking in between drinks, which I mostly forget to do. But when I do, it's so very helpful. Or at the very least, drink a ton of water before you go to bed and right when you wake up.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
What a big difference that makes to do the rule of take. Have a drink of alcohol. I'm sorry. Have a drink of water, like a glass of water between each alcoholic drink. What is the difference?
Yes. I have never done it myself, but I hear it's great. I'm like, oh shit, I should have done that. Let me make up for it before bedtime and just chug all this water and then have to pee in 2 hours.
Yes.
Medication use. So certain medications, including some anxiety and anti-inflammatory medications, may interact with alcohol. So your medications may be less effective and then you feel anxious, restless, or agitated.
Sure. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Regret or worry when you get drunk and wake up the next day and you remember or try to remember what happened the next day, you might feel embarrassment or a sting of regret. And if you're not totally sure what happened, I'm sorry. And if you're not totally sure what you did, you might feel nervous as you wait for your friends to tell you what happened.
Oh, God, yes.
Wow.
You're awaiting the phone call or the text or the conversation.
Wow. So specific. What a good point. Yeah. Just that buildup of like, oh, God, what are people going to say? Yeah. Alcohol intolerance, sometimes called alcohol allergy, alcohol intolerance can cause many symptoms that resemble the physical symptoms of anxiety, including nausea, rapid heartbeat / pounding heart, head pain, and fatigue. Huh.
Okay.
I mean,
interesting.
I've spoken before on here about how I have an allergy to sulfites, so I can't have wine or champagne. But it feels more like a sickness, or like I'm going to go into some sort of anaphylactic shock.
Oh gosh.
But I know that a lot of people, when they drink wine, and a lot of people don't tolerate sulfites well. That's why a lot of people, when they drink wine or champagne, get really red in the face.
That's what I'm just going to say. I've seen like the flush happen.
With certain
allergies. Yes.
Yeah. That's typically from sulfites.
Interesting.
And then this one's so much for me. Poor sleep. Alcohol can affect your sleep even if you don't drink much. Your anxiety symptoms get worse when you don't sleep enough, but those same symptoms make it hard to get a good night's sleep.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And vicious I'm always cycle. Way more anxious when I have not rested.
Yeah. It is that vicious cycle.
Yes. Yeah. Everything's heightened. And I've read before that because alcohol can reduce your REM sleep, you're not getting a significant, you know, night's rest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I've heard that also alcohol increases your cortisol levels, which directly impacts anxiety and symptoms around anxiety.
I'm about to go on vacation.
What a buzzkill, literally.
Literally. We couldn't have recorded this episode at a worse time. I haven't really had a drink in, gosh, maybe like a month and a half or so. Because I don't drink that often. It's just that when I'm about to go on a vacation or do some sort of like big fun social thing, I'll usually have a few drinks. So it just kind of depends like what my social calendar is. But because I've mostly been just on the road doing shows the last month and a half, I haven't really had any. And so now I'm about to go on vacation and I'm like really excited to drink, but I'm reading all of this like, you know, it's not – I mean, we all know it's not good for you. It's literal poison.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. Well, maybe this will just be a good reminder before vacation to just pace yourself and have drinks of water in between and get your B9 wherever you find that shit, you know?
Yeah, I'll pick up B9 at the store today before I...
Yes, maybe this will just prevent a hangover and anxiety for you instead of ruining it completely, your vacation.
Yeah.
I've also heard that because alcohol is a mixture of like a stimulant and a depressant, you know, there's various effects of that. You drink it for the stimulant and then the depressant stuff kicks in
right after.
I'm not a doctor. We should have a specialist on to really talk about this because this is fascinating. And then I've also read an article that there's an amount of anxiety associated with anxiety that people are not sure of whether it's because somebody's already susceptible to anxiety, depression versus if it's the alcohol that is making them feel that way after. So if people are drawn to alcohol because they have anxiety and depression, like chicken or the egg, what came first kind of a situation, but
another vicious cycle.
Yes, exactly.
And you want to get into how we can prevent anxiety?
Yes, preventing anxiety. Okay, this is from Medical News Today. Number one, drink plenty of water during and after alcohol consumption. Just do it.
Just do it.
You can even make it look like a little drink, put a little lime in it, little tonic water, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Avoid drinking coffee and other stimulants that may increase anxiety. Ooh, I mean, think about that the next day if people are a coffee drinker and then
sure.
Oh, that's so many different like stimulants and depressants. I feel like kind of over the course of 24 hours.
Sure.
That's a big one. Drink only with trusted friends.
Yep.
Just good life advice.
Yeah.
Kelsey, want to share the next few?
Yeah. Avoiding people and places that may encourage behavior that a person will regret the next day. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Reducing or eliminating drinking. It's like, hey,
hey,
maybe just stop. I like that. The end of this is just like, hey, I don't know if you heard anything that was just read to you, but maybe just don't. And I'm just still like, nah, I'm going to keep doing it.
Hey, maybe just go fuck yourself and stop, stop this madness. Do you go through, I feel like I go through cycles where I truly, after I have a night of drinking and then I wake up with anxiety or hangover, I'm like, I'm really not drinking anymore. Like, I'm not, like, there's been times where I'm like, I just don't want to drink ever again. Like, for real. Like, I just don't want to consume alcohol. And there's times where I'm like, just give it a few months. I'll probably come back a little bit. Do you go through cycles of that? Or like, how do you really feel about like your mindset around alcohol after you've experienced some really tough anxiety or like hangover symptoms?
Yeah. So first of all, you have told me. I've had those conversations. Yeah. Like, I'm done with this. Yes. This is the devil's liquid and I will not partake again. And then like, you know, a little time passes and, you know, we kind of go have a good time again.
And then I'm the lemon shot, lemon drip queen or whatever the fuck it's
lemon
called.
Drop?
Lemon drop shot queen. It's a mess.
Yep. I haven't had that thought of I'm never drinking again for probably, I want to say maybe like 8 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I would have it periodically throughout college. There'd be times where I was just like, oh my God. I don't know if I would say I would never drink again in college because it's just like, I had a really horrible, very dark experience. Again, I'm thinking this was about 8 years ago, maybe a little less than that. And I promised myself that I would never black out again. Oh. So that to me, and I don't think I have truly since then.
Yeah.
I am more careful now with the amount that I consume. And when we're talking about making sure you have water, a good trick that I have learned is as you order a drink, also ask for a water.
Yes.
Because you're less likely to, like, if you're in a social situation, you're in a great conversation, you're starting to get a little buzzed, you're less likely to be like, hey, I'm sorry, like, let's pause this great conversation we're having because I'm going to go get a water. I'm going to go stand in line at the bar and get a water.
Right.
You feel lazy at that point and you're kind of like, oh, just fuck it.
Right.
But every time you order a drink, try to just ask for a water right then and you'll just be double fisted. You'll just have a water and your drink.
I love that.
Chug your water if you don't want to be double fisted, but like just get it in your system.
That's so good. That's perfect. What a hot tip. I love a good hot tip.
Hot tip from somebody who went to Washington State University. And
this is good.
Their liver has suffered greatly.
This is good. So here's my dilemma because if I do drink consistently or like, especially when I was younger, I had a very high tolerance, like not joking. It would take me about 10 shots throughout the night to feel drunk. And so whatever happens in my body where I process things quickly or whatever, it would just take so much. And then as I got older, I stopped drinking as much and all that stuff. I became more of a, like a medium type of whatever, medium weight and stuff. But I like the experience of feeling like a lightweight in the sense of, once I have one drink and I feel a nice buzz and I feel like that I can do that now, but I have to drink a glass of something on kind of an empty stomach, not like completely empty, but it's like for me to feel buzzed after one drink and not drink a bunch more to feel a little something. I have to have like a light meal or just basically say, I'm going to eat, before bed once, which I always do, but I have to, that is the dilemma where it's like, I know I'm not supposed to drink on an empty stomach, but by doing that, I actually drink less because if I go into a night with a full belly, I don't feel shit. It takes so much more alcohol. And so my thing is just, I drink a lot of water and I eat a full meal after drinking. Always even if it's right before bed in my bed, that's my late dinner. That's what I do. Even if I've had dinner. That's the dilemma I've had as somebody who just can take a lot of fluids, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, that makes sense. For me, that's like, that kind of went hand in hand with the whole, I'm never going to black out again is that.
Yeah.
For me, drinking on an empty stomach is just like the worst idea. Even if it's like chips and salsa are being consumed, just something has to be getting in there
to help balance it out, or else it just goes straight to my head and it's like way too much too fast.
Yeah, no, totally. And it's like, that's why I'm like, I would love to ask an expert, what is better for you? I know it's both not great, but having, you know, a light meal and then drinking, so you have like one drink that night, or having like a full belly and going in knowing that you might have, you know, 2 to 4 drinks that night. Like, what's better? Right. What is it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would love to know the answer to that. Yeah.
I would love to know. Kels, do you have any like glaring differences between how you drank when you were younger and how you drink now, or like how you feel about it after versus how you feel now?
Oh, how much time do we have?
I think probably one of the biggest differences for me is I do not drink well liquor anymore.
Oh, okay.
And I know maybe this is going to make me sound like a bougie ass bitch. And I know that.
Oh, good. I welcome it. Okay.
For me, I would rather pay for a top shelf liquor whether I'm out drinking at a bar and there's an option of like, oh, what kind of tequila would you like in this? Right. Or I'm going and purchasing my own at a store. I would rather spend that extra money, especially because at a bar, it's like the difference of maybe a few dollars.
Yeah.
Because the way that well alcohol interacts in my body versus a more of a top shelf is night and day in terms of a hangover for me.
Oh, so you've actually like experimented with the difference.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I need to do that.
I really love tequila now, and Clase Azul. I'm always like, fuck, am I saying it right? It's the really beautiful, like the white bottle with the blue swirls on it and the silver dome on top. Have you seen this in bars
know.
Or anything?
I don't know.
People can like use it as the bottle as a vase.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it, for a fifth, is like $160.
Yeah.
It's very top shelf.
Yeah.
But if I am drinking that versus nights where I have had – like let the bartender make me a well margarita. I am hurting the next day, even if I only have one or two of the well drinks versus like many drinks of a top shelf liquor.
Oh, wow.
And I will feel generally fine the next day. From what I understand of like distilling liquor and all of that, when you're using a well alcohol, it's not being distilled as many times, it's not being filtered through as many times. So you're getting all of these like congeners and all of this other awful shit that just stays in there because they're not doing as much to it. And then that's the shit that really gives you a bad hangover.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, shit. I need to try that because I'm the type of person who's like, yeah, I'll take whatever you got.
No. How on the bottle of Tito's it says distilled. Is it 6 times or 5 times? Anyway, Tito's is distilled a lot. And that's why people always talk about, oh, Tito's is such a great deal for the price you pay. It's not terribly expensive, but it's
right.
A very clean vodka in general because it's distilled many times.
I might have to re-enter the drinking world just for a couple experiments with top shelf versus well liquor.
Yeah. What's the big difference for you?
A lot of over drinking, binge drinking when I was younger, obviously now very much different, you know, a couple glasses of wine with dinner or, you know, I also made a promise to myself at some point, like, I'll never black out again. I for sure can prevent that. And then here I am at my own wedding, blacked out. So, you know, that didn't go according to plan. So that is really like the only time recently where I obviously had a lot. But I don't, that's not how I consume alcohol anymore. I also remember just even waking up with a hangover or anxiety when I was younger felt worth it to me because I had a fucking great time most of the time. And like, it really did help with my social anxiety. Like I would make friends and I would feel more comfortable. And like, it was like, hey, I might feel a little hungover, but I'll be fine. I eat a burrito and I'm good. Like it passed very quickly. And to me, because there was like a certain purpose for it where it was helping me build like more of a social life or feel more comfortable, it was worth it in a lot of ways, if I'm being completely honest. Now, for me, the positive benefits or like how I feel has not been worth the aftermath to me. And I think that's what's the biggest shift is like, I no longer have the same kind of need or use for it in a way. And now I'm just like, yeah, I'm not getting out of this what I used to. And I think that's what's making a big difference. Yeah. However, I do enjoy like a glass of wine with Cam over dinner or something, but like that's kind of once it's past kind of that point, it becomes unenjoyable. So that's what I've really noticed, full transparency. So, you know,
you and I also went to big drinking colleges. And
oh, God,
it's absolutely a like an environmental influence and a norm that is set that makes you go, oh, well, this is just what drinking is. This is what you do. And for me, drinking to black out, like that was what everybody did. It was like you just went until you blacked out.
Yeah.
So that was really a big difference for me too as I got older. It's like, oh, that's not how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to get to that point.
Right.
But that was pretty common. And also because you're younger and you feel physically like you have less consequences. I was, especially my senior year, I mean, my best friend Kelly and I were out drinking, I want to say like 4 to 5 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
That might not have been every week, but it really wasn't uncommon for us to like start on, sounds like a rap song, Tuesday. We're at Taco Tuesday.
Right. Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Like you would go and do the thing of that night and we would, you know, I'm not saying I would black out every night that we would drink, but it was not uncommon for me to be blacking out every week.
Yes. You
know, it was...
Yes.
It was a lot. It was a lot of drinking. And I didn't really start drinking until my junior year of college. I didn't drink at all in high school and I didn't drink in the beginning of college. And then I started and I was making up for some lost time the way I was drinking then. It was a lot.
Oh, interesting. That sounds a lot like Cam's college experience. He went to University of Wisconsin La Crosse and it's like you're drinking most nights.
Yeah.
All right, Dad, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I started drinking real early. Like by the time I went to college on my own, I had been drinking for enough time to know what my limit was and to actually be burnt out on drinking.
Wow.
So I'm showing up at 18 where most people around me are drinking for like the first time away from home, going hard. And I'm like, I'm going to bed at 10. I'm exhausted.
Oh.
So my college experience was weird because I wasn't really drinking much. And so everybody around, but because of, I'm sure I would have had that experience if I had started later.
Yeah.
But part of me is very grateful that I started early because it was really out of my system. And I remember like the first day of orientation in college, we sat down in this giant auditorium and whoever was talking was like, look to your right and left. Only one of you will make it to graduation because two of you are going to be failing out of this school. So make sure it's not you because UC Santa Barbara is such a big party school. You're, you know, right on the beach, all that stuff. A third of people graduate. And it's like, you know, it's a great school. I mean, it's a great university, but you know, there's a lot of distractions and temptations there. And, so a lot of people like in my dorm did not make it through their first year because they were so fucking excited about drinking all the time. And so that's, I'm like, wow, it actually was a blessing kind of in disguise that I got this out of my system a bit because, you know, I wasn't having any trouble managing that type of thing. And so then I did a little bit of drinking towards like the end of my college career and stuff. But all this shit that I did in college required me to be up so early. It was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what I was thinking.
Right. Yeah. You did rowing and all of that.
Rowing, worked at Trader Joe's at the 4 a.m. shift, worked at a news station, did the 5 a.m. teleprompter shift. I mean, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. It was ridiculous.
That's a lot.
It was weird, but I had a good time. Don't get me wrong. I did get my fair share in towards like the end.
Yes.
Man. So we could have a whole part two about really crazy stories. This was good to know.
Yeah, we've got an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Cross Country Ash. They say, can't say enough good things. I found this podcast in the pandemic after I got dumped. I'm so sorry. Aww. I am still completely heartbroken, but these girls are healing me one day at a time. I just graduated nursing school and starting in the ICU next month. So this podcast gives me a lot of consistency I need right now. And it's helping me improve myself before I jump into my new crazy career. Thanks for being here for me, girls.
Oh, wow.
I want to hug you.
Yes. Hug you. And also congratulations for graduating nursing school. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so tough. Tough timing. I know.
So sorry about the breakup. We are really sending you a giant hug through the
podcast. Absolutely. You know what quote is always helpful for me to remember? Rejection is just redirection to something better, baby. Don't you worry.
And that other one we love, that's like, if you loved the wrong person that much, imagine how much you can love the right person.
Yes. Yeah.
You got good things in your future.
Yes. We are with you.
We are with you for sure. Do we have any segments? I can talk about one.
I know you do. I know. My segment is related to your segment, so you go for it, girl.
Okay. So I shot my special.
Yes!
The lady was there. I know I mentioned in the episode that came out last week that I shot my special and that I was going to wait until an episode with Delaney to get into the details a little bit more. But the first crowd was incredible. And then we had so many... Like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. The Stanley Cup finals were being played the same night in Denver, and Denver was in, like, Colorado Avalanche was in the finals. So it was a huge ordeal to try to get people to the show because attendance was really starting to suffer as it was announced that the finals were that night. And I got altitude sickness two nights before. I was like dry heaving all through the night. Yeah. The day of the taping, I had hired an amazing makeup artist to fly out, and she texted me a couple hours before we were supposed to start doing my makeup for the special and said, my worst professional nightmare of 18 years just happened. The airline did not send my makeup kit.
And
you guys know here on the podcast how much I love makeup and how I usually just do it myself. So to hire somebody was like a big kind of relinquishing control for me. Putting trust in like somebody else. And of course it was not her fault at all. It was completely the airlines, but it was like, oh my God, I just couldn't believe that it was happening to me because like I never hire somebody to do my makeup.
Yeah.
So she had to like run to Sephora, try to fill what she could. And in, like that really did, that was sad for me. Like, I really was excited to have her do it with, like, her go-to products and products that are made for camera, right? And so she didn't have some of the things that are kind of, like, her holy grail products, and that was a bummer. But she did such a great job. I did really feel beautiful, and
she looked amazing. I would have nobody would ever know that happened.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, she did an amazing job, especially under the circumstances. And then I got there. First show, which is where Delaney and Cam and their friends came to that show. So I'm so glad that you guys were there for that
one. So much fun.
Because that crowd was so fun. You guys were such a great crowd. And then, so like the great part of all of this is that the crew was like, all right, like you got it. Like you got it in the first show. You can just coast basically for the second show because both shows were being taped.
The club manager came up to me in the green room after the first show and goes, okay, I don't want you to panic, but an old man passed out at the end of your first show. So paramedics are here.
How did I not see that?
I don't know. And by the way, Delaney's already heard this, so I'm trying to get through it fast because I know it's not fun to hear twice, but I want to tell you listeners. So paramedics showed up. They got him out of there and the club manager was like, but because, you know, this all happened, we're going to have to start the second show late.
Yeah.
So the second show starts about 30 minutes late. And because of that, they're not really able to check like who they're letting in. They're just trying to rush to get people in. And the Stanley Cup game had let out at that point. So then you've got really drunk people just going, oh, let's just go to a comedy show without thinking about that it's a special taping. So this is a very fitting story for this episode's topic. Because they sat a woman in the second row who was in a blackout. She and her friend were completely hammered.
Oh, sweet.
I'm on stage for like 5 minutes and she starts shouting shit at me. And I was like, hey, like, this is a special taping. Like, you've got to shut the fuck up. And they had already made like 12 announcements about it's a special taping. There's no heckling. I say that to her. I'm just getting a blank stare back. She's not registering anything I'm saying.
Right.
I try to get back into my set. Not even 30 seconds goes by. She starts shouting again. I was like, all right, you got to go. She's got to go. So security in the middle of the special taping had to come kick this lady and her friend out. Whole giant commotion. They're so drunk that they're taking forever to like grab their purse and like get out of there. They're stumbling. It's a whole I felt like I was on stage treading water for 40 years.
Oh, and geez.
I look up, they're like not even close to the exit. I stay into the microphone. I'm like, oh, moving at a glacial pace.
Yeah.
And apparently she turned around and flipped me off. Like, again, the things that you don't, like this has been on my vision board is to shoot a special.
Yeah.
You do not anticipate that you're going to get flipped off.
Right.
After you have to kick out a heckler at your own special.
Right.
So anyway, they finally got them out of there. It was like I was able to get the crowd back on track, fortunately. But it was like – and there are so many other crazy things that happened. But those were kind of the biggest ones. So, yeah, just shit that like you would not ever expect at a special taping. But thank God the first crowd was so good.
Oh, thank God. I mean, that's the thing. The first show just went so smooth. Like they said, you just didn't even need the second one was just extra, you know, that if you needed it or wanted it. But
yeah.
It was great. So excited for you. So proud of you. You fucking crushed. We were dying. What a great crowd too. Like people were, I mean, everybody was just really enjoying themselves. And like I told Callis, I was like, my only concern is that some people laughed so long that they kind of laughed into your next bit. And so I'm like, you might have to cut some of the laughter out in between jokes. But yeah, no, it was so much fun. And thank God, like everything, like, went so great in one, you know, one take basically. And with your makeup, like would have never known that any of that happened. So you looked incredible.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I'm going to start like the editing process pretty soon. They're going to send me the footage and I'm so excited for it to come out. I can't wait for all you helpsters to see it. So, and like I said, last episode, thank you from the bottom of my heart for anybody who came out to those shows. You really made it such an incredible night. So,
Oh, so nice. So nice. That's my good shit too. Flew out with Cam, see Kelsey perform. It was so much fun. You know, had a really great time in Denver. Went to the International Church of Cannabis. Really cool spot.
Wow.
If you want a guided meditation, laser rock show in a church, highly recommend. Good times in there. And then I had never been to Boulder and I just fucking fell in love with Boulder.
Beautiful.
I
could see you living there for sure.
It's so funny because people have told me before, like, oh, you know, you're going to love Portland. You're a Portland person. You're going to love Boulder. You should go there. Like, and I'm like, oh, you're right. You've been correct every time.
And you would also love Portland. Oh my God, you would love Portland.
Oh, I've been to Portland. They were right about it. I'm like, here, I'm like, oh yeah, everybody was right. They get me. And then I've heard that from people too. Like, you should really check out Boulder at some point. I'm like, yeah, you get me. Fucking great. Loved it. Could totally, spend a lot of time there, but it was awesome.
Well, you are an incredible friend for flying out.
Oh, of course.
I am the luckiest. I'm beyond lucky. Thank you so much for coming and doing that.
Oh my God, of course. I would not have missed it. I had a fucking incredible time. It was great.
And love you.
Oh, of course. Well, I'm so glad. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. All right, guys. We hope this episode was helpful. Drink responsibly if you drink. Yeah. And I can't wait to talk about my vacation.
Yes. And how you drink responsibly.
And how I drink responsibly. Well, I'll have an update on how well I did.
See what happens. TBD.
I'm going to Nashville for the first time in my life. And it's, you know, that's a big drinking party city. So.
Oh my God, you're going to have so much fun.
Godspeed to me. We'll see.
Best of luck. May the force be with you.
Thank you. All right. We love you guys. We hope you have a great week.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.